The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Is your life in balance? Your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual life? Does it sometimes feel that you're in need of a healing check? Welcome to Chella's Chat with host Chella Zappia. In the next hour, get ready for an honest discussion with special guest experts and contributions from you and other listeners. Now to get everything started, here is Chella.
Hi, and welcome to the show, and I'm your host, Chella Zappia, and you're listening to Chella's Chat on Voice America's Health and Wellness Channel. This show is all about healing through inspiration and information, providing you with the information and tools you need to heal your life. So most weeks we have guest speakers who will guide you through different topics that can help you heal your life. You can connect with me at ChellaZappia.com or email me at ChellaZappia@Outlook.com. Also love to hear from you. You can always call into the show. We love call-ins. That number is 866-472-5792. And today I'm very, very excited. I have a great guest on, and we're going to be talking today to Dr. Kelly Turner. And Dr. Kelly Turner, PhD, is a researcher, writer, and speaker in the field of integrative oncology. She's an inspirational voice for wellness seekers and cancer patients across the country, and her research and work on the subject of radical remission of cancer, which is a remission that occurs either in the absence of traditional medicine or after traditional medicine has failed, has spanned the globe and touched thousands of lives. Her latest projects include developing the Radical Remission Project, a networking site for radical remission cancer survivors and current cancer patients, and her New York Times bestseller, Radical Remission, Surviving Cancer Against All Odds, has just hit the airwaves. Everybody is grabbing the book. I know I read it myself and just a couple of days. It's fascinating. It's full of incredible information. And though we focus this topic today on cancer, I believe this book would help anybody with any kind of chronic illness. Peers in holistic health professionals praise Dr. Turner's blend of compassion, optimism, and hard-earned scientific credentials. She holds a BA from Harvard University and a PhD from University of California, Berkeley. And before we introduce Dr. Turner, I just want to read a staggering statistic here it was on the American Cancer Society page. It says in 2014, there will be an estimated 1,665,540 new cancer cases diagnosed and 585,720 cancer deaths in the U.S. Cancer remains the second most common cause of death in the U.S., accounting for nearly one of every four deaths. And you know, cancer is one of those words that elicits fear. And it seems every one of us has been affected by cancer in some way, whether it's our own possible cancer diagnosis or someone we know. And I want this show today to be a show of hope, because after you hear what Dr. Turner has to say, I think that your outlook on cancer will totally change. So Dr. Turner, thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks for inviting me, Chella. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, your book, as I said, is fascinating. And you start off in the book at the very beginning. You define the term anomaly. And so I just thought we'd start there. Why did you use that term?
Well, an anomaly is something that deviates from what is expected. And that is what radical remission survivors are. Their doctors expect them to pass away. Statistically, it's very unlikely that they would survive. And yet they do. And so they really are a mystery. So you could call it a miracle, you could call it a mystery, but I like the word anomaly or outlier. Those are the two words that I try to use, because those are a little bit more neutral. If we say miracle, people think that, you know, it happened without any control of your own and it was just God coming in. If you say mystery, then again, it's this idea that you don't know how it happened. But when I research these people in depth, these people who were healing cancer against all odds, what I found is that they had very clear answers for me when I said, why do you think you healed? They had lots of ideas. For them, it wasn't so mysterious. because they worked really hard and they made a lot of changes. So that's why the word anomaly or outlier, I like to use that because it's just a bit more neutral.
Oh, well, I loved how you started the book with that. And so for the audience to know, what is a radical remission? What is that?
It's when someone heals from cancer without using any Western medicine, or they've used Western medicine to its fullest, but their doctors tell them there's nothing more they can do. And then at that point, they turn their cancer around. So those are the two main categories. It's known in the medical world as spontaneous remission, but I don't like to use the word spontaneous because that, again, implies that it just happened, you know, without any cause. It just happened by chance. Mm-hmm. But it's those two categories of healing. I've actually recently added a third category to my research, which is anyone who combines conventional medicine and complementary medicine at the same time in order to overcome a very serious prognosis. So again, if someone's diagnosed with, for example, stage 4 pancreatic cancer, even with the best chemotherapy and surgery and radiation, they're going to have a very slim chances of living more than 5 years. So mm-hmm. if someone has that diagnosis and they figure out how to survive more than 5 years or 10 years, they're somebody that I also want to study because they're also beating the odds.
Exactly. And like you said, it sounds like a mixture of different kind of modalities that people are using. And so that people aren't confused. It's not just people that maybe aren't doing anything at all, just holistic. They're using Western medicine, combining maybe Eastern medicine and different holistic approaches. What was it that sparked your interest in these remissions? What got you going on this?
What got me going on it was realizing that no one was studying them. Mm. So I was just counseling cancer patients. I was a psychotherapist for cancer patients and very much loving my work. I'd found my calling and I was where I needed to be. And sort of just by happenstance, during my lunch break, I was reading a book where I came across a case of radical remission. And it stopped me in my tracks. And I said, really? Did this person really heal from stage 4 kidney cancer after being sent home on hospice? And he did. It turns out he did. I've met the man. He's amazing. But I was frustrated that I had never heard of him before. And the book that I was reading was 10 years old. So I just became frustrated that no one was studying these cases, no one was talking about them, and they weren't getting any news coverage. That's why I started studying it, and that's why I've now been doing this for 10 years.
I feel the same way. It's funny, my husband and I both speak about these things, that when we hear about, a combination of possibly Western or holistic or Eastern medicine, or sometimes it's not even using Western medicine, but people healing from such really dire diagnoses, we think the same thing. Like, why isn't this on front page news? Like, I don't get it. Why isn't the media talking about this? It's always the doom and gloom. And if people talked about this, there would be more hope. And there should be more hope because people need hope when they're given such a dire diagnosis and whatever it is that you're diagnosed with. So once that happened, once you had that aha moment, like, why aren't people researching this? What did you decide to do?
Well, first I decided to look and see what was being researched. And what was being researched was simply doctors were submitting case reports here and there. And those case reports were simply biomedical. So the doctors would say the person came in with this cancer, here's their before scan. 6 months later they walked in, here's their after scan. Their cancer was completely gone, and I don't know why, and that's the end of the report. And I kept writing on these reports, scribbling furiously in the margins. Did anyone ask the patient what they did? Did anyone ask the patient why they think they healed? And that was the frustration. And so that's what I decided to do. Because no one was asking the people themselves, why do you think you healed? That was, of course, the first place to go and the first thing to research. So I started by I studied both the people who've healed and also the alternative healers that they were going to see. Because when I started my preliminary research and started talking to a few of these people, these radical remission survivors, mm-hmm. I quickly figured out that they were traveling to the ends of the earth to get well. So many of them were going to see healers in Brazil, healers in Japan or in China, and these healers that they were going to see had very different ideas about what cancer was and how it was treated. And so that was the second group of people that I decided to study, were the alternative cancer healers. So my research started off with a year-long trip around the world to 10 different countries where I tracked down as many radical remission survivors as I could find, as well as interviewing the healers that they were going to see. And since then, I've analyzed over 1,000 of these cases, but it started with that year-long trip.
That's really fascinating. Now, what I'm hearing you say is that a lot of people feel they have to leave this country to find people, healers. Do you, in your research, do you feel that in the United States, it's harder for people with these dire diagnoses to feel like they're getting, that they have options, I guess, or that they're not being pushed into doing something that perhaps a Western physician is telling them to do? Do you think that people seem to be able to find what they need stepping outside this country?
Well, you know, everything that I found outside of this country in terms of healing modalities is available inside of this country. And that's because we have, you know, a wonderful melting pot of cultures and education and everything. So, you know, some of my U.S. colleagues joke and they're like, how come you didn't come interview me? You know, I'm doing that just over here. You know, just a couple hours away from you. No, the answer is no, you don't have to leave this country to benefit from all the healing. And in fact, most of my research points to the fact that you don't need to really go outside of yourself, that much of the healing you can do on your own with a little bit of guidance from some professionals. So when it comes to like herbs and supplements, you're going to want to really do your homework or ideally meet with, you know, a knowledgeable health professional to guide you on that.
Right.
But most of the things that I found the radical remission survivors were doing are things you can do on your own. You don't need to go see a healer to do them.
So you talk about 9 key factors in your book. I know there was many, many things that people did, but you brought it down to 9, I believe, and that every remission patient utilized in their healing. So let's dive into that. Let's discuss those 9.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're exactly right. I found over 75 different things that radical remission survivors do to try to get well. But not everyone does, of course, all 75. However, everyone that I've studied has done almost either 8 or all 9 of these most common ones. So, you know, people say, well, what are the top 3 or what's the most important one? According to my research right now, all we can say is the radical remission survivors that I study do these 9 things equally frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this moment in my research, we need to give them all equal weight. Let's dive into them. I mean, that's the heart of the research. Now, I'm always careful to say that these are not things that I'm telling people that they should do. These are just simply the common things that radical remission survivors do. So I always like to put that little disclaimer
out
there.
Yes, yes. And they're not in any particular order, I take it?
No, they're not. And picking the order for the book was difficult because I didn't want people to think that the first one was more important than the last one.
Okay.
But just for, you know, the sake of being able to talk about it in a logical fashion, we can start with the 2 that are physical, because only 2 of them, believe it or not, were physical. The other 7 were emotional or spiritual.
Wow. Okay. So
and
what
I bet
were,
you can guess.
What were they?
I bet you can guess what the physical ones were. I mean, I know you've read the book.
Yes. So of course, nutrition.
Yes, changing your diet. So the radical remission survivors that I study, they do radically change their diet, and the main changes that they make, and there are individual differences, you know, from person to person. So some people are really juicing cabbage, some people are really eating their leafy greens, but regardless of those individual sort of, you know, nitpicky characteristics, the overall trends of the diet change were greatly, greatly, greatly increasing fruits and vegetables. I can't repeat it enough. Fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to plaster it over my book because that was what they were doing. And
so you're saying making their body more alkaline, in other words.
Exactly. Working on reducing inflammation and also getting nutrients and minerals from fresh fruits and vegetables. A lot of them ate raw or 50% raw or 80% raw. So fresh fruits and vegetables, lightly steamed, as many as you can possibly eat, and wide variety of colors and types of vegetables. But that was a big one. And then they cut out things from their diet as well. So they cut out things like meat, wheat, sweets, and dairy products. Mm-hmm. And again, that's to reduce inflammation.
And I talk about, I've had some other shows myself where I've talked about nutrition, and it's true. I mean, disease really cannot thrive in a body that's is alkaline and is balanced. And so that makes sense that this would be one of the things that people did. And I also read in your book, there were some people fasted or did juice fasting and things like that, which I've heard people do as well. I also know that the other thing that people did is, of course, supplementation or herbs.
Right. Herbs and supplements. And, you know, when the body's very sick and dealing with a big imbalance like a cancer diagnosis, the people that I studied did think that it was going to be necessary to supplement their bodies at least for a while until the cancer was gone. So some of the people that I study used supplements really intensively to try to get well, and then once they brought their body back into balance, they were able to cut down on those supplements. Most of them have stuck with the diet, maybe not as quite as intensively, but the supplements were really used to take a body that was way out of balance and bring it back into balance. So again, there was no one supplement that everyone was taking. I sort of wish there would have been, because that would just make it really easy.
I was just going to ask you that. Did you find that there was a particular supplement or a particular herb?
Right. No, I didn't. And, you know, because my research is international, I've been doing this for 10 years now, what I've found is that people take the herbs that are native to their country. So in Hawaii, they're eating the noni fruit. In Japan, they're eating more mushrooms. In the Caribbean, they're eating soursop fruit. So you're eating what is grown naturally in your own backyard. But the characteristics of the herbs and supplements there were some similarities there. So the three categories that radical remission survivors take are herbs and supplements that help you digest your food. So that would be like prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes, and so on. The second category are herbs and supplements that help you detoxify your body. So natural things that are going to be antibacterial, like garlic, or there's some antivirals, some antifungals that you can take. You can take supplements to help clear your body of those things. And then finally, the third category of herbs and supplements were ones that help boost the immune system. And this is really key, because this idea of boosting the immune system came up over and over again with all nine of the factors. Because the idea is that when Western medicine has done all of that it can, and you don't have that anymore, it's your own body that you need to fight the cancer or to remove the cancer. And that your body's going to do that with the immune system. And of course, our immune systems know how to handle cancer. We all have cancer every single day, every single one of us. Our bodies make cancerous cells. They are simply bad copies. And when our systems are working properly, our immune system recognizes those bad copies and pops them through a process called apoptosis. So your immune system knows exactly what to do with a cancer cell. Your immune system just needs to be strong enough and active enough to find and recognize those cells.
Well, as we're getting ready for break, so when we come back, we will obviously discuss the other factors which are very important for the healing of cancer, or again, any disease, because again, it's really balancing. You need a full balance in your body, mind, body, spirit, physical, the whole thing. So Dr. Turner, how can people find your book or locate your website?
They can find me at drkellyturner.com. They can buy the book wherever books or ebooks are sold. And if they have a radical remission story, I would love for them to submit it at radicalremission.com, which is my research website where the research continues, and we get new radical remission stories submitted every day.
Oh, yay. And that's what people really should do, so that there are more of these stories out there, because there's probably so much, many more stories than we could possibly know about, because people aren't reporting them or the doctors aren't reporting them. So I'm Chella Zappia, and we will be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you, a loved one, or someone you know living with a traumatic brain injury? For the latest cutting-edge information and services, tune in to Brain Train with host Gail Taylor. Our program will showcase the different services available for cognitive rehabilitation and behavior therapy, as well as talk with the professionals, families, and recipients of these services to keep you up to date on the latest developments. Brain Train can be heard live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. If you have cancer, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. While many medical professionals can give us some of the answers, there are many more unanswered questions that can't always be answered to our satisfaction. Listen for Cancer Concepts and Compliments with Dr. James Belanger. We'll discuss the tests, the compromised immune system, how cancer grows, and what natural medicines could be added to conventional therapies that may help keep it at bay. Cancer Concepts and Compliments airs live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Sit back. Close your eyes. Relax. Have you explored the possibilities of yoga? It transcends time, space, and culture. It has healing properties, and it can be done by anyone. Tune in to Yoga Begins Now with Mark and Heather Cherie Titus. Mark and Heather are the team behind the Sedona Yoga Festival. Our program will bring yoga out of the studio and into your life with lively discussions, special guests, and an in-depth exploration of modern yoga. Yoga Begins Now. Join us every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Chella's Chat. To reach Chella Zappia or today's guest, please call into the show at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to chellazappia@outlook.com. Now, back to Chella's Chat.
Hi, and welcome back to Chella's Chat. And today we're speaking with Dr. Kelly Turner about her book, Radical Remission, Surviving Cancer Against All Odds. And I have a quote here from Nathaniel Hawthorne that says, "A bodily disease, which we look upon as whole and entire within itself, may, after all, be but a symptom of some ailment in the spiritual part." In other words, sometimes our bodies need to knock really loudly on us because to tell us that there's something wrong that we need to change in our lives. And we don't usually listen to the subtle hints it gives us. So we kind of have to get knocked in the head kind of hard. It could be cancer. It could be depression. It could be many, many different things. And on break, Dr. Turner and I were just talking about some of the stories that about some of the people she interviewed and their stories. And so I'm really excited that we have one of the people that she interviewed in the book. Her name is Saren on the line. Saren, are you there?
Hi, it's Saren here.
Hi, Saren. I'm so glad that you called in today. We're really excited. Perfect timing, as we wanted to hear a little bit. I thought the audience would love to hear a little bit about your story. You know, what happened to you? What were you told, and what did you do to heal?
Sure. Well, it was about 1999, and my cancer had been knocking on my body door since 1993. I just couldn't get anyone in the medical profession to open the door with me and look and see who is that. So, I was really young, and they just weren't looking at young women with breast cancer at the time. So by the time we did open that door, it was about 6 years later, and my cancer was very had very much progressed. So I was told on a Friday late in the afternoon that I had cancer, and basically the whole cancer team had gone home for the night, so can I come back on Monday with this diagnosis? And you know what? Honestly, I think it was partly a hysterical reaction. I went to the video store, and I got every stand-up comedy tape that I could find, because in college I had read an excerpt from a book called Anatomy of an Illness, where this man, Norman Cousins, had used positive emotions, laughter, releasing negative emotions, to change his body chemistry and increase his immune system, which now, all these decades later, we now know is really scientific. It really does help your immune system get stronger. So I had nothing to lose over that weekend. So I started a comedy marathon. And actually, from that night Friday till the morning when I woke up, when my daughter woke up, I had experienced a lot of different things. And one of the major takeaways I had from that little comedy festival was that when I was laughing, I wasn't thinking about dying. And that when I was laughing, I didn't hear in my head over and over again, "You have cancer, you're going to die, you have cancer." So I really got into the comedy and watched how my body reacted to it. And my body started to feel like my body, not some foreign body, you know, riddled with cancer. So that really ignited something in me to really understand more about psychoneuroimmunology and the mind-body connection. And so I started some practices right away with my little five-year-old who was turning six that were very simple. Mm-hmm. And those practices actually kept my spirit really strong as I adopted more strategies. As Kelly talks about in the book, I did all of the nine strategies in 1999, and then had a miracle after three surgeries, 44 radiation treatments, and over two years of chemotherapy, with the last one being three times a day. Nothing was working. My cancer was still growing. So after using all of these strategies, I did experience radical remission and have gone on to help almost 900,000 people with the strategies that I developed starting that very first night of my diagnosis.
That's incredible. Now, I know that you, because I've read your story, had to go through quite an ordeal.
Yes.
I mean, with the surgeries and the chemos and radiation, correct?
Well, you know, I look at it this way. When these are the things that are being offered to you and you're a single parent, you know, and have sole custody, you have a big reason to live. That is like a massive motivator, which is one of the strategies in Dr. Turner's book, A Radical Remission. When you having something to live for, whether it's your job or a family member or faith, something that's keeping you going, your mission, you know, that's a big motivator to go through and do everything and anything that anyone tells you in Western, you know, in Western or complementary medicine. So anything they told me to do, I was doing because I was looking for that break, you know, where my body would respond. And when, you know, all the Western medicine treatments didn't grab this thing and take care of it, you know, I also was going to every kind of healer or healing situation to see, would you wake up my body? Like, would you wake up my immune system? Would, you know, did your theory wake it up? Did your practice wake it up? So I was extremely open and flexible to everything and anything because I just wanted to stay one step ahead of this cancer until my body could experience a radical remission.
How did it feel the day that you went in and found out that you were healed?
Oh, my gosh, Zach, it feels today. This is, we're on the radio. You know, it's incredible because now in this time, I mean, Kelly's book has totally changed I should say Dr. Turner, you're so official.
No, you can call me Kelly.
I knew her when she was a student researching. Anyway, this book, overnight, you know, on the Dr. Oz show with Dr. Turner and Dr. Oz talking about radical remission, this woman had, and our stories, of course, but, you know, Dr. Turner and Dr. Oz on that show literally changed the conversation in cancer, and I also take my hat off to Harper One, the publisher, for being bold enough to do this in 2014. They changed the conversation of cancer that day in March 2014 because it all of a sudden armed so many of us, whether you're a patient, a caregiver, a doctor, a complementary healer. You now have a body of work and research at your fingertips via Kindle, via Amazon, via Barnes & Noble, however you're going to get this masterpiece of a book. And you have that at your fingertips to walk into any medical situation and say, can we have a conversation about this? Because this book was on the New York Times bestseller list. This book is number one in cancer. You know, like, this is book's number one in healing and motivation. You know, this is pretty viable. Dr. Oz had it. Joa had it on her Voice of America show. We should talk about this. And now it's not the lonely person like me schlepping in there with some internet printouts going, hey, could I try this herb? Or what do you feel if my diet switches? You know, now this has put this totally mainstream, and it is empowering every patient and every caregiver to say, okay, yes, I understand this surgery. Yes, I agree to this chemotherapy. It puts patients in the driver's seat, and that's another one of the strategies. Mm-hmm. You have to take on your wellness. You
right.
have to become the CEO, the quarterback of your plan. And it doesn't mean that you don't listen to your oncologist and your radiologist and your surgeon, but you have to be the person that digests all this information and starts feeling empowered in your journey. So when they, when my plan, my radical remission plan started to work in the winter of the beginning of 2001, my medical team was incredibly skeptical, and they were not so easy to lay off the fourth surgery. But I said, I'd like to do a little bit of a wait and watch. I can always do the surgery. I want to see if this plan can help my body wake up. And you know what? My scans started to show a change. So that allowed me to just breathe a little bit. My scan showed more of a change, more of a change, more of a change. And as my body was correcting itself and my immune system had ignited, by 18 months later, when I finally went for that moment that you just asked me about,
right.
And they said, we don't see any disease. You have no evidence of disease as an early stage 4 cancer patient. We just don't see it anymore. It was so fun because they became believers. You know, they were so skeptical through the 18 months, but at the 18 month point, it was this moment, this eureka moment of, wow, we did this. Like, and it was a big celebration. And thank God from July of 2002, when that last, you know, 18 months since I had really started this massive plan, which included herbs, and the Tibetan medicine system for me, and then all the other factors as Kelly talks about in the book. From that moment forward, till now, 2014, I just have been doing this plan, doing these strategies, and I have never had another traditional chemotherapy or surgical intervention or radiological intervention. It's just been living this radical remission plan. And Dr. Turner, I love you, Kelly. Dr. Turner just really puts it out in the book in such an accessible way. You know, you feel like you get to know all the survivors that she features and their plans. And I work in healthcare, so I get to go into chemo. centers, and I get to go into hospitals and support groups, and people are carrying her book as if it's a Bible. Not only is it,
I promise.
Well, this is why we wanted to have somebody on. And reading the book, I loved everybody's story. And there was something that connected me with Saren, and hence I reached out to her. And I'm so glad that you called in. I'd like you to stick on the line while we continue the interview, if you're okay with that, because you might be able to contribute to the conversation. Saren, let people know, though, because of the comedy aspect of this, you have an organization. Could you let people know what your organization is?
Yes, and what's so amazing is that I just celebrated yesterday 15 years of the anniversary of my first chemo comedy party. So my first chemo treatment, I threw a chemo comedy party at my treatment facility. So I had 6 hours of comedy. I had sparkling cider. I had food, and I had giveaways, like, for everybody, whether you're a doctor, a nurse.
This is in the book.
What'd you say?
This is in the book, I believe, right?
Yeah. So that was like a blast. And about two thirds of the way through my IV, for my chemotherapy IV, I looked around the room and I went, whoa, this could be like any party at my house. We're like actually having fun. You wouldn't even know this is a chemotherapy place, you know. We created a whole community here. We're partying, you know. And all the nausea started to decrease and the anxiety and the pain. And then it came to me as a flash in that chemo chair. You know what? God put me here for a reason, to see this need. We have to redefine the way patients go through cancer treatment. We have to infuse it with hope and joy and laughter and fun and community and break down all that isolation. So in that chemo chair, 15 years ago yesterday, I launched something called the Comedy Cures Foundation, www.comedycures.org. And we bring therapeutic entertainment, hope, comedy, healing, positive emotions around the world to kids and grown-ups living with illness, depression, trauma, and disabilities, and to their caregivers. And I've been able, thank God, to do this work since that first chemotherapy treatment up till now. We're almost at 900,000 people live worldwide. So cancer has its benefits, and one of the benefits is it can really clarify for you what people you want to be around, what people you don't want to be around, and what you want your life's mission to be. And so my life's mission came right into focus at that chemo comedy party, and in Dr. Turner's book, my chapter is the chapter on positive emotions, and very much part of that is releasing negative emotions, which happens to be another strategy in the book.
Well, Doctor, and we're getting ready for break in a little bit, but Dr. Turner, so why is it important for people to take control of their health care? Just like Saren said, that's from her perspective. What did you see?
Well, when you take control, first of all, you ignite a sort of activity in your body. So as opposed to just receiving whatever's done to you, there's an action in Eastern medicine. They would say you're bringing chi, you're bringing life force into your body when you actually take the reins of your health. And what we know scientifically is that people who are hopeless or helpless don't live as long with cancer. So when you take control and you have some hope about a plan, whether that plan is chemotherapy or herbs or whatever it is, if you have hope in a plan and you don't feel helpless, statistically you're going to survive longer.
And I think that's true. Like with, and that's with any kind of dire diagnosis. You talked to also about something and called the Type C study. Do we have enough time to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah.
What is that?
The Type C study, so we've heard about people with a Type A personality, meaning they're sort of bossy and prone to anger. And in contrast, there was a Type B, which is like the laid-back person. And then in the 80s, there was a study done about cancer, looking for a cancer personality. So it was called the Type C personality. And that was looking at commonalities amongst cancer patients. Now, this study has since kind of been overturned, but what it found was that people who were passive and were quote-unquote doormats were more likely to have cancer. That has not been proven, and that has actually been, you know, overturned.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're not here to blame and say why people get cancer, but again, what studies are showing these days is that if you can switch away from being helpless and you can move into being active with a plan where you feel like things are manageable, that trajectory of moving from helplessness and hopelessness to having a plan and being active, studies are now showing over and over again that that is leading to longer survival.
So being empowered. So as we get ready for a break again, Dr. Turner, again, how can people find you?
DrKellyTurner.com and also RadicalRemission.com.
And remember, there's also the Radical Remission Project. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that's at RadicalRemission.com. That's where you can submit your own Radical Remission story, and you can also search through and read other Radical Remission stories that have been submitted on the site.
So I really suggest, again, if you know anybody out there has one of these incredible stories, please, please, please encourage them to go to the website and put it on there, because it's important for this kind of research to continue and for more of these stories to get out. And I'm Chella Zappia, and you can find me at Facebook at Chella Zappia or ChellaZappia.com. You can always leave me a comment. And when we come back, we will be continuing our conversation with Dr. Kelly Turner.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Holy hormones, honey! Every week, this groundbreaking radio show brings you insight about hormone fluctuations, addressing the core biological issues that cause mood disorders, and offers a general support center for women everywhere at any stage in their lives. Host Leslie Carroll Botha has the passion and drive to help you make informed decisions about your well-being and reclaim your life. Holy Hormones, Honey, sponsored by True Hope Incorporated, the leaders in brain health, is broadcast live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Cancer is not something to be taken lightly, but instead of being talked at by doctors, medical providers, and others, wouldn't it be nice to hear from a host who has worked at the cancer coalface for 38 years as a caregiver, supporter for 14,000 patients, and who has had the experience of having a life-threatening condition herself? You will hear the stories of survivors and other people who work in breakthrough cancer medicine. Navigating the Cancer Maze with host Grace Galler will help you with the facts, planning, and grief experienced with different forms and stages of cancer. Listen every Friday at 12 noon U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Listening to Chella's Chat. To reach Chella Zappia or today's guest, please call into the show at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to chellazappia@outlook.com. Now, back to Chella's Chat.
And we're back, and this is Chella's Chat, and I'm Chella Zappia, and we're speaking today to Dr. Kelly Turner and Saren, who is one of the people whose story is in Dr. Turner's book. Dr. Turner, we were talking to some stories, but how important is this spiritual connection in all of this?
It's one of the nine most common factors that emerged in my research, but I'm glad to use the word spiritual connection, because a lot of people talk about faith or belief, and what I found in my research is that it wasn't about what you believed in. It was about whether or not you were practicing your connection to spirituality. So whether or not you had a daily or, you know, ideally daily or very regular spiritual practice. That is what the radical mission survivors had in common. So that could be regular meditation, it could be regular prayer, or it could be a regular walk in nature where you're silent and you're just communing to whatever you call spiritual, whether that's God, whether that's spiritual energy, whether that's a sense of oneness. It doesn't really matter what you believe. What mm-hmm. matters is that you connect to that energy.
Stella, for me, it became very much a dialogue, like a conversation. I started a conversation, and that conversation was ongoing, you know, whether mm-hmm. I had to make a major medical decision or I had to go through some kind of a treatment or I was having side effects. I actually make the joke that I made, you know, God my CMO. All of a sudden, God became my chief medical officer. And we would have, you know, rounds where we would actually really talk and pray on what these choices were that I had to make. And I see this with patients, as Kelly said, all the time. It really doesn't matter which belief system you have. Mm-hmm. What I see is when you actually engage that belief system, and if there's even a support system with that belief system, that really helps the patient.
And that's really important. So having some kind of spiritual connection, in your book you call it a third type of love. Why did you call it that?
Well, because, you know, everyone said, oh, well, aren't these all really connected, all these different factors? And they are, but there are some subtle differences that I kept hearing from the people I study. And I kept hearing it again and again that I was like, you know, they're really talking about these as different things. So the first kind of, you know, quote-unquote love that my research subjects were talking about was the kind of love that they felt about, you know, themselves, the love that they felt for their life, the love that they were able to give to others, sort of that joy that you just feel within yourself. And that was, of course, Saren's chapter about increasing positive emotions, increasing that love and that joy in your life. Mm-hmm. And then I heard people talking about what I call a second type of love, which is social support. So that's receiving love. Mm-hmm. And the reason I separated them is because some people are really good at giving love, but they're not so good at receiving it. And that is what I heard the people that I study say. Many of them said that they had been giving and giving and giving their whole lives, but they hadn't taken time to really receive love. And so for them, part of their healing was really working on that aspect. So allowing your friends and family to help you, whether it's practically or whether it's emotionally. You know, when someone says, I love you, actually taking that in and listening to it and believing it. That's a different skill.
And that's really important. And you said something to the emotional community support. I know that's really valuable in all healing. When people, Dr. Dean Schrock wrote a book, Why Love Heals, and that's one of the things that he noticed. He worked in 40 different cancer centers and found that how people healed was really the people that had the best results were from the people that felt connected to community, that valued themselves, loved themselves as well. They were not, you know, they did things so that they were not alone. And that's really important. Do you have any stories that you can share with us?
About related to social support?
Yeah.
Yeah. The woman who's featured in that chapter is named Catherine, and that's her real name. And Catherine is a wonderful example of how it takes a village to do anything properly, because she was single, divorced in her 60s, and she was working freelance, so she didn't have health insurance at the time. She was not quite old enough for Medicare. So she passed out one day in her apartment by herself, and no one came to help her because she lived alone. So she woke up, you know, a while later and realized, oh my gosh, I should probably go to the hospital, but I shouldn't be driving because I just passed out and hit my head. So from the very first moment of her cancer journey, she had to call and ask for help. So she called a friend who lived across town and said, I'm so sorry to do this, but could you drive me to the hospital? And so her friend came and got her, and that was the beginning of a journey for Catherine to reach out and ask for help, because she was diagnosed with stage 3 liver cancer.
Wow.
And her intuition was telling her not to do Western medicine just yet. She wanted to try other things first. They wanted to remove 3/4 of her liver, and that just felt too rash for her. She wanted to try a gentler form of healing, and that was her decision. but it meant going outside of the medical system. And so everything that she paid, that she did, was paid for out of pocket. Mm. And her church community really came together for her. She had been giving and giving to her church community for years, and they finally gave back to her and did some great fundraisers for her. She ended up doing, you know, all nine of the factors in my book, but one thing in particular she found that was very helpful for her was a form of energy healing called the Life Vessel. And after about 12 to 18 months using that treatment as well as the other factors in the book, she felt like she was feeling better. And again, all of this healing happened because she received both the practical and the emotional support from her loved ones. And she says, you know, anyway, after 18 months later, her cancer was gone. So the doctors went in to operate, and there was nothing but a dead, shriveled tumor there hanging off the edge of her liver. They snipped it off, and she was home in 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so, incredible.
And they were expecting to take out 3/4 of her liver. So
now, you said something in the conversation. You said intuition. So
yeah.
How important is intuition?
That ended up being one of the nine key factors, and that really surprised me because I thought it would come up occasionally, but I didn't think it would come up in every interview. And Saren felt that way too. I mean, Saren, I know that for you, that intuition of that Comedy Cures insight of, I want to start a foundation that's going to help people, that was a very intuitive, like, hit for you.
I agree, and for me, intuition carried me so much through it, and that was everything from, you know, pursuing a diagnosis to looking at when my body wasn't responding to different treatments, continuing to look for other ideas on how to go through this, and then eventually holding back the fourth surgery. Because I could tell that from just listening to my body, that the strategies that I was enlisting were really impacting my immune system, and then actually watching the scans take care of that. Dr. Turner and I just experienced this a few days ago, because there was a young gal who was heading in for a very aggressive cancer surgery, and through a relative, she had heard about our work, you know, about the Comedy Cures Foundation and our programs, and also Dr. Turner's book. And so her family made a decision that they were not going to have her surgery that day, that they were going to, they needed to be in a better mental state and a frame of mind. Mm-hmm. And so they actually called us last second to see, even though the program was sold out, if they could jump into the program. And then when they came, Dr. Turner was actually there at the program. And so after the Comedy Cures event, I actually spent an hour with this family, and we went over all the strategies in Dr. Turner's book, Radical Remission, and then a lot more specific strategies for using positive emotion and intuition and empowerment, et cetera, to guide your way through a very intense surgery and recovery for cancer. And just as we were going to do your show, Chella, and I was holding on the line, mm-hmm. I got a text message that this young woman came through her surgery and that she's doing really well.
Oh,
and
wow.
So
that's so great.
I just saw this, and Dr. Turner and I just lived this, you know, just a few days ago, watching how much the book can empower mm-hmm. people, and how these strategies, when you really work them and you read these stories and you hear these stories, can really transform a cancer patient, particularly a newly diagnosed person's frame of mind right
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. You know, Louise Hay, who wrote You Can Heal Your Life, had a cancer diagnosis in her 40s, and she knew that before having surgery or anything else, that she needed to heal her mind, body, spirit, you know,
exactly.
had to drop the stuff that was what probably made her ill in the first place. And of course, her book, now she's in her 80s and thriving. And when she goes back, and she has no cancer in her body. So she was one of a radical remission survivors too. But the link to that is, and as we're getting ready to close the show, is that I do believe that illness comes up in our body, I mean, it's happened to me as well for the people that know my story, comes up, something comes up in your life to tell you something, you know, and what is the message that your body's trying to tell you? And if you don't listen, eventually it will knock very hard. What kind of closing thoughts do you have, Dr. Turner, for the audience?
Well, along those lines, one of the things that the healers that I interviewed kept saying was everybody has a different change they need to make. So for some of the people that I studied, they needed to change their diet. For other people, they needed to change their marriage. Other mm-hmm. people, they needed to change where they lived, right? So one gentleman moved to the ocean because he just really wanted to just move and go somewhere new. Well, it turns out his house was filled with toxic mold, and that, you know, very well could have been contributing to his cancer. And so everybody has a different change that they need to make.
I agree. There's a quote by Martha Beck, who's an author. I really do think that any deep crisis is an opportunity to make your life extraordinary in some way. Each one of us have the power to make our lives and others' lives extraordinary. And sometimes, like in Saren's story, because now she has Comedy Cures and the foundation, and she's doing this incredible work, or even in my particular story, which wasn't cancer, but it was still a big story, I am doing this, you know, or right, or, you know, so, and Dr. Turner, the fact that, you know, you just had that aha moment of, you know, something needs to be done about this. So your book is so incredible. I really, really urge everybody to read the book, whether you have cancer or you don't have cancer, but you just want to have good health. These nine key factors can help you just achieve good health. You know, this book is not specifically, even though it's written for cancer, it really applies to everything and everybody, I believe. Dr. Turner, how can people find you once again?
Well, Facebook and Twitter, I'm at Dr. Kelly Turner, and then my website is drkellyturner.com.
Perfect, perfect. And Saren, what's your foundation?
The Comedy Cures Foundation. You can find us at www.comedycures.org or on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Comedy Cures, info@comedycures.org. We'd love to laugh with you and bring joy.
Laughter is really awesome. And thank you both so much for being on the show. It always goes so quickly, but I'm so really blessed that you were on today. And I hope that many, many people got the message. And I'm Cella Zappia. Remember, that's C-E-L-L-A for those of you that don't know. And really just continue to heal through inspiration and information. I just love to provide the information of people to heal their lives. And until next time, have a great night.
Thank you again for being part of the show. Cella's Chat featuring Cella Zappia can be heard live every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. This week, find your balance.